We're back talking fantasy baseball, and guess what? Starting next week, twice a week, friends, and then three times, four times, five times a week, we're ramping it up. Baseball season's getting closer and closer. Who cares about football?
Nobody.
Yeah, no, right, exactly. Nobody cares.
Nobody.
Except
Scott's
for everybody.
Ecstatic about that.
Adam Azer, Scott White, Al Melchior. If you are new to the show, welcome, everybody. Thank you for listening to us in 2016. You will win your league, we promise. And you'll have fun along the way. Don't shy away from it.
Okay.
Easy there, Tex.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, at CBS Scott White, at Al Melk, CBS, Al-M-E-L-C, CBS, and at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. You can also follow Heath Cummings, Chris Towers, and yeah, that's pretty much all you have to do. So here's what we're going to do today. A lot of news since we last talked. I'm back from vacation, and a lot happened. Justin Upton to Detroit. Ian Kennedy to Kansas City. Chris Davis back with the Orioles. Jonathan Lucroy is demanding a trade, sort of. News on Aroldis Chapman today, and a new closer in San Diego. Now, guys, we usually start with like an email of the day. I've got a different means of communication of the day. Remember phone calls? Remember when people used to make phone calls?
What?
Yeah. No. What's that?
That thing that you text on, sometimes you can talk into it.
Really?
And
straight into it.
It's true.
You mean like your camera.
Yeah,
you can talk to people in your camera.
I'm talking about Siri. But anyway, Adam Wainwright has the phone call of the day. Did you see Adam Wainwright or hear Adam Wainwright call into Sirius XM and
that was
complain?
Great. I listened to it this morning.
Yeah, not complain, but he had some fun with Sirius XM because he was drafted in the seventh round of a draft, and he thought, disrespect. It was awesome. yeah, I don't know. What did you guys think about that? It was really funny, I thought.
I think Adam Wainwright doesn't play fantasy baseball, or else he would not feel so slighted, because it seems appropriate, and not necessarily a slight in any way.
It had to be explained to him, the difference. But then, even when he found out he was the 22nd pitcher taken, which is exactly how Scott White has him ranked, and I have him ranked 21st. So even when that was explained to him, then he was insulted all over again.
Oh, 22nd.
Well, what he thought was, I was drafted in the seventh round, and he plays fantasy football, and in fantasy football, that's a marginal player in many cases who you may or may not start. So big difference, seventh round in fantasy baseball and seventh round in fantasy football. That's what we learned today. Now, we can talk emails. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We'll also look at NL pitcher regression candidates courtesy of Heath Cummings. But here's an email from Jake. And again, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put baseball podcast in the subject line. Jake says, Dear Sterling, Cyril, and Barry.
I have no idea. I'm trying to think of a Cyril.
No, you won't know it. I didn't know it either. I had to look it up. It's Archer, which... Yeah, I've seen clips of Archer, and like I saw a clip, like a compilation of funny moments on YouTube, and it looked like the funniest show of all time. Then I actually started watching the show, and I didn't really like it quite as much. So that's just a quick
review. Those compilations.
Yeah,
they'll lure you in.
Well, it was an interesting email from Jake. He says, "Let's talk perception for a moment. Which players, upon reflecting upon their 2015 stats, had their perceptions changed in your mind the most, either positively or negatively?" And now that I'm reading this out loud, I feel like this could have been worded better, Jake. But what players, upon reflecting upon their 2015 stats, had their perceptions changed in your mind the most, either positively or negatively?
You are picky.
It's a little wordy.
This could be a whole podcast, I feel like, because I jotted down... looks like 11 names.
Whoa.
I won't get into all of them. But one name I'll immediately throw out because I just wrote about him in the Toronto Blue Jays Outlook is Kevin Pillar. Do you realize, Adam, Kevin Pillar was one of only 15 players to steal 25 or more bases last year? And of those 15, he was one of only 6 to hit double digit home runs. And as you might expect, the other 5 of those 6 are fantasy mainstays, guys like AJ Pollock and Starling Marte. And, I struggled to find a real shortcoming for Pillar upon further investigation. He doesn't walk much, but that's true for most of the guys with that skill set. He had as low of a strikeout rate as AJ Pollock. And keep in mind, he did all of this as a first year starter. So, I mean, he's kind of old, but I feel like taking the sum of his contributions, the fact that he's never really even mentioned as a mixed league possibility, I feel like is a pretty drastic oversight.
Kevin Pillar sucks. Sorry, no, I just wanted to.
Good argument.
Well, Kevin Pillar.
Like, that's a good message board post, yeah. Right there.
Kevin Pillar is now 27 years old. He just turned 27, and he really had not had a lot of at-bats going into the year. 102 at-bats in 2013, 116 at-bats in 2014. But he's an outfielder who slugged .399. So that's kind of interesting, Scott. You know, like, doesn't really excite. I just, you know, I remember doing analysis, like all of us doing analysis of Kevin Pillar, bringing him up on the podcast, being like, how is he ranked this high? I don't really get it.
Well, maybe you need to get on board. Because I don't see any part of what he did last year that's unsustainable.
Oh, man, but he really didn't have a very good year. All he did was steal bases. I mean, that is
he hit 12 home runs and 31 doubles.
That's not a lot.
Yeah, he did.
12 home runs? I mean, that's for an outfielder? That's garbage.
For one who hits 15, for one who steals 25 bases? I mean,
that's not that common.
I'd rather have that than what Billy Burns is going to do, you know? I'm not talking about this guy in like the 10th round or something. I'm just saying he's much more mixed league relevant than I feel like we've made him out to be.
Do you guys think the steals are legit? Because he had one steal in his career entering the season.
Yeah, I do, because I think that was out of line with what he did in the minors. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I remember looking at him. In fact, I'm pretty sure Scott and I had a discussion last offseason, probably right around this time, where I was looking at those minor league numbers and thinking, this guy might be the poor man's Charlie Blackmon. And I think that's kind of what he wound up being.
All right, but here's the last thing.
He had a 50-steal season in the minors.
I'm just looking, Scott, I know you always look at this. Point production. And this is relevant even in roto leagues. Point production week by week. I mean, it's pretty bad. There's only, let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks with more than, I think, 16 fantasy points. There's like 9 weeks with more than 14 fantasy points. And that 14 fantasy points is pretty lousy week. That's, you know, it's not a very good week.
Yeah.
It just like he didn't really do any. He had a 3-week stretch where he was awesome, and then other than that, Pillar didn't. I don't know. It just,
you know, that goes back to me saying I'm not talking about a 10th round pick.
Right.
I'm talking about as your fourth or fifth outfielder, which generally you're not going to go that far in a points league. So I was really making more of a roto case for him.
Okay,
but you know, the fact that he strikes out so little, if there's any improvement at all in his second year. And I'm not ruling that out.
Sure.
I mean, he's kind of old, but he's younger than 30.
Yeah.
Then suddenly I think maybe he does enter the top 36 outfielder discussion.
Okay. He's on my radar. Kevin Pillar. Al, how about you?
First two players that came to mind for me were Justin Verlander, who I'd left for dead. And I'm very excited about for this year based on what he did over the last half of last season. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, Johnny Cueto, who I'd finally come around to believing that he was a completely reliable ace, and now I really don't want to draft him at all.
Johnny Cueto went ahead of Adam Wainwright in that serious draft.
Seriously?
Yeah, he was the one pitcher that stood out to me like, ooh, really?
Seriously.
I only have him one spot ahead of Cueto. I was just making fun. And that's the reaction it deserves.
very good.
I just throw out a few more names. Asdrubal Cabrera, and actually I'm just pulling some of these right off of my sleepers and bust list because that's kind of what that is.
Wait, we'll save it because that's next week.
Al, whatever your name is.
All right, well, I'll throw just one of these names out here because it's somebody that's, well, all right, not on the list that you might think. Adam Eaton, just because he really has emerged as a different player than he was going into last season, and even that he was, I'd say, a quarter of the way through the season. I know you think it's no great shakes, Adam, but I think he can hit double-digit home runs again.
Great shakes.
And they have those at Shake Shack.
Wait, who are you talking about here?
Adam Eaton.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, go on.
I started thinking about milkshakes. I got You're completely lost there.
Adam Eaton, that's fine. I'm going to end this discussion by just saying that Johnny Rockets has the best shakes that I've had.
No, not better than Shake Shack.
No.
No way.
No.
Yeah, well, they have so many more varieties than Shake Shack. It's a pretty important thing.
They've got quantity, but maybe not the same quality.
I don't think Chick-fil-A milkshakes get enough love.
Oh, you're right about that. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
You know who was serving food Chick-fil-A today?
Who's that?
Dallas Keuchel and Ken Giles.
Really?
I saw Jose Altuve, too.
And Jose Altuve. Sorry, I left him out.
Must have been the whole Astros team, or at least a lot of the good players.
All right, email of the day number two is from Ryan in St. Louis. Ryan is in a 15-team keeper auction roto league. Complicated. Would you rather target guys who do many things pretty well or someone who will give you a couple of things very well? For example, Colton Wong versus an Evan Gattis. Do you like a guy who specializes in one or two categories, does it really well, or somebody who gives you balance across a lot of categories? What do you think?
I mean, what I want is value, you know, regardless of how it's distributed. But in the proverbial vacuum, I'd rather have the jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of Billy Hamilton right here because I was much more interested in him going into last year than I probably had any right to be. Because in the one category, actually, I can't really fault him for the steals, but he didn't deliver enough in the other categories to make that worthwhile.
The more balanced you keep your categories with every pick of the draft, the more options you have with every pick of the draft. You don't box yourself in by overloading at one category and having to make up ground in another. So, I mean, he kind of gave middle to late round choices here in Gattis and Wong, but you know, even at the start of the draft, if you're debating an AJ Pollock and an Edwin Encarnacion, I'd rather go the Pollock route because there are so many more things I can do with my second, third, and fourth picks that way.
Right. Okay. Good stuff. We will have plenty more. And that's obviously he's in an auction league, but that's, you know, all types of roto leagues, so categories leagues. We'll talk a lot about that as the season gets closer. I know we also had an email. Actually, I'll just read it now. It's from the Nuge in Chicago. And he says, you guys do a live draft on the podcast. Could you do a live auction draft?
Oh, gosh.
We've done it before. Do you remember?
No, I think I boycotted it.
Well, you weren't on it.
I'm like, there's no way I can divide my attention during an auction.
No, yeah, it was me, Nando, and Al, I think. Al, were you on that one?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. We did it over two podcasts, I believe. We did an auction. We could try it. I mean, the thing is, we only do one auction, right? And we play it out. So it's hard to do like a mock auction because they take 6 weeks to do. But,
they're fun. I guess in terms of mixed leagues, we do only do one. We do an AL and NL only, where if, you know, you weren't a part of it and you were just sitting in as the host, it would make things easier for you, I guess.
Oh, but yeah, I could do that. I would love to not be a part of that, actually.
You're usually not. That's why you say you only do one auction.
Yeah, I'm down for that. All right, so auction on the air, possibly. I'll say that. All right, injuries, news, and notes, guys. Detroit signed Justin Upton to a 6-year, $133 million deal. He's still just 28 years old. He hits 26, 27, somewhere around there, home runs every year. Batting average last year for Upton was .251. That was his lowest since 2008. It's been, you know, it hasn't been so great lately, that batting average, but the steals were up. However, he had 19 steals, Upton, last year. The only time he didn't have a lot of steals was 2 years with the Braves, but does this worry you with Justin Upton? After the All-Star break, only 2 steals in 6 attempts. Before the All-Star break, he had 17 steals in 18 attempts. So I feel like that could be a pretty important thing for him. Do you expect around 20 steals from Justin Upton this year?
Yeah, I'd say no.
No.
Oh.
Well, because I had already written him off as a steals guy before last year, and then he had that. I remember talking to him at the All-Star game, like, what's up with all the steals? And he gave me some BS answer and then stopped running. So,
well, maybe you shouldn't have asked him.
Maybe not. I jinxed it. So, no, I don't think that's not an expected part of the skill set for me anymore. If he delivers them, it'll be a nice surprise. It's kind of the same approach I'm taking with Chris Bryant, who had nearly 15 steals, I think, last year. But I'm not really counting on those from him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought 20 would be sort of a modest expectation, but I guess, yeah. I don't know. I think it's a good over-under.
Okay. Where do you guys rank Justin Upton? Is he still around, you know, top 15 or so?
It's a little outside that for me because there's enough others who've surpassed him. And I think because we're beyond the point where we expect any kind of growth from Upton, he's 28. You know, that's almost post-prime these days. So I think he's kind of settled in as a clear middle-of-the-road number two outfielder.
Okay.
Yeah, Jonathan. I've got him a little higher than Scott does. I've got him 18th.
Jonathan Lucroy, he wants a trade. You know what? I don't care about that. What I want to know is how you feel about him, and I looked at your rankings. I know in points leagues you have Lucroy as your number three catcher behind Posey and Schwarber. I don't know about Roto. Maybe you guys can tell me, but do you think...
Same thing for me, I think.
I'm pretty sure I've got him third there, too.
All right, so you guys are confident Jonathan Lucroy bounces back this year?
Yeah, I do. He was just fine in the second half last season. 807 OPS.
Okay, works for me. How about Ian Kennedy going to the Royals? You know, in Heath's regression column that I'm going to reference a little bit later, he mentions Kennedy, and I think he wrote, if he goes to the Royals, he could have one of his best years. Something along those lines. Well, now he's gone to the Royals. What do you guys think about Kennedy?
I'm not excited. I think there's some room for him to bounce back, but that one year that he had with the Diamondbacks, which I think was 2011, is really looking like the outlier now. And I don't think he's really all that relevant in 12-team mixed leagues.
His biggest problem is home runs, though. And even though we usually talk about Petco Park as a pitcher's park, last year it was actually slightly hitter friendly. At least that's what the numbers suggest.
The 3 years running since they moved to the fences. Okay. It's been that way.
I mean, Kansas City's clearly pitcher friendly. So this is probably the first time in his career. Yeah. I mean, definitely the first time in career he's been in that extreme of a pitcher friendly environment. And I mean, that's obviously worked well for Chris Young, who's a very homer prone pitcher in a neutral environment. I could see it working out well for Kennedy. And if it does with his strikeout rate, that's a big jump up the rankings. I'm not adding him to my sleepers list, but I do think stock up with this move.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, actually, now that we're on that subject, Justin Upton was much better at home last year. He had a 506 slugging percentage at home and a 402 slugging percentage on the road. He only batted 225 on the road. So now going from San Diego to Coors Field Light, San Diego, Petco Park, to Detroit, yeah. Is that something that concerns you with Upton?
No. I mean, he was, look at his home away splits and his time in Arizona, you know. He overcame that when he left.
And bear in mind, too, that a lot of the home runs that have been hit at Petco Park the last 3 years have been by lefties. So that's, if nothing else, that's, I think it's a feather in his cap that he was able to do well at Petco as a right-handed hitter.
Baltimore resigned Chris Davis, 7 years, $161 million. Al, you wrote a piece about this for the website. You can catch it all, fantasynews.cbsports.com. What's your general take on Chris Davis going into 2016?
That this is really good news for him because he did have better power splits at Oriole Park, which you would expect. And he's been very inconsistent, obviously, but I think that 2014 was the outlier for him. So I expect very similar numbers this year to what he had last year.
And that was what? Was he top seven or so at first base, guys?
I can look it up, but that sounds about right.
Okay, so Davis, solid option at first base. Aroldis Chapman is the Yankees closer. Brian Cashman came out and said it. And now,
by the way, Davis was second in Roto last year.
Whoa, was he really?
Yeah.
Jeez, at first base?
A lot of home runs.
Yes.
Well, that's wow. And what was he in points,
do
you know?
I think it was fifth in points, now that I'm thinking about it.
What was he in points?
Fifth.
Fifth, okay. So 5 + 2 = 7, that's why I said that.
Mm-hmm.
The Sun Sentinel of South Florida reporting that Aroldis Chapman will not face charges. It doesn't mean he won't be suspended, but it probably won't be a very big suspension. What do you guys, you know, we talked about it last week. I asked you if Chapman's going to be the number one closer for you. Al said, "You're such a homer, Adam. You had never asked that if you weren't on the Yankees." And I said, "Shut up, Al," or something like to that effect. But good news for Chapman, I guess, recently. What do you think?
He won't be my number one closer, but he'll, He'll be in the top four, third or fourth.
Which is the same answer you gave last week. And the same answer you'll give on March 15th.
Yes.
And everyone will get tired of hearing it.
Well, here's another.
So don't ask me anymore, please.
All right, fine. Here's a closer we haven't talked about. Fernando Rodney, signed
is
by.
Is he a closer?
That's what I was reading. Is that not the case?
No, you're probably right. I mean, San Diego has no one else who really even deserves a shot. I kind of liked Kevin Quackenbush going into last year, but then, I mean, he was up and down majors and minors all year. Didn't pitch very well. Brandon Maurer, I think, was also mentioned as a possibility, but
he's going to start, or at least he's going to stretch out to start.
He's going to try to start. Yeah. So, I think Fernando Rodney, it's clearly his job. I don't know that you want him in fantasy, but he did have a nice rebound with the Cubs after, falling out of favor with, I guess it was did he begin with the Mariners?
Yeah, he was terrible. He had an ERA over 5 with the Mariners. Yeah. He had an ERA under 1 with the Cubs.
Right.
0.75.
So, I don't know. I put him kind of on David Hernandez level as far as closer, prospective fantasy closers go.
You want to hear something crazy? Okay. Fernando Rodney in 2014, he had 48 saves and he had a 2.85 ERA. That made him the number 6 reliever in points leagues, but he had a 1.34 whip. That made him the number 19 reliever with 48 saves. He finished as the number 19 reliever and decent amount of 76 strikeouts. Not that bad in Roto. So
format matters.
Whip matters. I mean, look, the Roto, like the points rankings, you can't dispute. It's fantasy points. The Roto rankings, I guess, little, I don't know, sort of subjective. But
well, they're based on the previous year, so there's always going to be, you know, some shifting there. But with that high of a whip, it's really going to punish a pitcher like Rodney in Roto.
Yeah, when I said rankings, I meant like not your rankings of the players, like where they finished.
Oh no, but that's what I'm saying is like our Roto rankings are based on a formula that's based on stats from the previous season.
Okay. The Yankees are hoping that Masahiro Tanaka's splitter will be better because he had off-season surgery to remove bone chips from his elbow. Anybody buying it, Masahiro Tanaka?
I think it's as valid of an explanation as any. I mean, if they operated on his elbow and they took out the bone chips and there was no other mention of the
torn
the ligament.
Yeah.
Like I think that's pretty much off the table now, which is good.
It's on the table because there was an MRI earlier in the offseason that showed that there was no healing.
Or were they expecting healing?
Well, I don't know if they were or they weren't, but my take on it is that with the bone chips removed, his performance should be better, but the risk of injury or, you know, of aggravation is the same as it was.
Or the same?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. But if the splitter is what it was impacting, that's his bread and butter pitch. That's what he gets all his strikeouts with. His strikeout rate was down. The home run rate was way up. That was his biggest problem. So if it does improve his effectiveness, you could see him creep into the top 20 again.
Well, Tanaka had a 3.51 ERA in 2015 after he was Cy Young worthy in 2014. He missed a lot of time, but he was great. But he had a .99 whip, and he actually gave up fewer hits per nine in 2015 than he did in 2014. But as you mentioned, Scott, it was really the home runs. They killed him.
Yeah.
And especially at home. 17 home runs in 87 and a third at home, only 8 home runs in 66 and two-thirds on the road. And I think opponents hit like .220 against him, both at home and on the road. But
even in 2014, the home run rate wasn't great, so that's always going to be an issue. But last year, it was like one of the worst in the league.
Yeah, I think it was 1.5 per nine, pretty bad. Okay, just a few more notes, guys. Jerks and Profar throwing from 135 feet. I think I could probably do that, but I'm sure he's doing it better. What's the deal with Jerks and Profar?
You know, I was noticing, I don't know, I guess it was the Arizona Fall League he played in, one of the off-season leagues, and he hit pretty well. He it seemed like the power was back after all the shoulder issues. So I'm starting to get kind of optimistic about him again. It's easy to forget this guy was the number one prospect in all of baseball before.
I think he's 22 still.
Yeah, he's very young, an age where you'd normally expect those kind of players to debut. So it's kind of like he's starting all over again, only without the hype that he had before. Playing time is obviously going to be an issue in Texas, but I feel like if he has a strong spring and, you know, keeps hitting in a super utility role, eventually they're going to move Elvis Andrews out of the way. And Profar could become like a top five shortstop.
Last I read, he was expected to start in AAA, but I think that scenario is still, you know, what you need to be watching for is either for them to trade him or to trade Andrews or somehow create playing time for Profar.
Who's the must draft and must stash prospect this year?
Probably Tyler Glass now.
Yeah.
I think he's Pirates fireballer.
Excluding the guys who debuted last year but are still technically rookies, he would be top of my list.
Okay.
And Jose Berrios would probably not be too far behind.
Vince Velasquez going to enter spring training as the favorite to be the Phillies starting pitcher. That, of course, is relevant in points leagues because Vince Velasquez is RP eligible.
And I would say as of right now, given that he's projected as fifth starter, he's probably the top SPARP.
Obviously,
which is really not saying a lot. But.
No, I mean, obviously, I know that, Al. I drafted him in our mock draft last month.
Yeah, I had him even before this news. I considered him the top SPARP because the second, I mean, probably the SPARP that has the best chance of a rotation spot is Tanner Roark, who's not bad, but he's not really like if he was SP only, you wouldn't be talking about him in mixed leagues. Because the lack of strikeout potential.
Yeah, Brandon Maurer would be in that discussion too, but I think Velasquez is going to be a lot more valuable.
So Roark wasn't really very good at all last year, but 2 years ago, I believe he was the number one relief pitcher in fantasy.
I think that's right.
I was just looking at some stats today, and does Roark have a chance to get back to being that good? I'll look up specifically.
I don't think he was RP eligible that year. He may show up as... If you were looking at our rankings, it ranks players at where they're eligible now. So, I mean, I guess that's neither here nor there. He was really good as a starting pitcher 2 years ago. But even then we were kind of suspicious of it because of the strikeout rate. I think the middle ground between 2014 and 2015 will make him a fringe mixed leaguer. And if he, because of the relief pitcher eligible, maybe more than that in points leagues. Were you gonna say something, Al? I don't.
Oh, I was just looking. Did you say Al or Adam?
I was gonna say something about. Remember?
Oh, I thought you said Adam. I'm sorry. I was just looking at 2014 and your leaders in fantasy points at the relief pitcher position. Tanner Roark 1, Greg Holland, Craig Kimbrell, Francisco Rodriguez, and Kyle Loesch. I don't remember him.
What I'm saying is, if they were relief pitcher eligible in 2014, that's where they would have ranked. That's what that screen is telling you. But neither Loesch nor Roark actually were at the time. And I'm sure nobody listening even cares about. So maybe we should just drop.
No, it's interesting. Is Loesch RP eligible this year?
Yes.
Yes.
I see. Okay, I understand now. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Good to know. So Heath wrote that column about NL pitcher regression candidates, just like he did with the American League. We talked about that last week. And here are the four that he singled out, or I guess can't really single out four. Here are the four that he featured.
Forgled out.
Yeah. Zach Greinke, he thinks he'll be worse than he was last year, but could still be a top 10 starting pitcher. I think you guys are pretty much on board with that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into detail. It's actually interesting stuff. Greinke had kind of historical numbers with his strand rate and his BABIP, so check that out. Andrew Cashner, he thinks could get better this year. Likely a top 40 pitcher. That's what Heath has to say about Andrew Cashner. What do you guys think?
I don't have him on my top 40, and I did forget that he really increased his strikeout rate last year. So if he can maintain that, and then improve the indicators that got him onto this list in the first place, which is that he had a really low strand rate and a very inflated BABIP, you know, then I think you're talking. But, you know, sort of like his teammate James Shields, I don't really know who Cashner is because he didn't have good control last year, gave up a lot of home runs. Everything was different from what we came to know.
Yeah, the hits were crazy. I mean, he gave up Well, his BABIP was insane. 335 BABIP after it was in the 270s two straight seasons. So, okay, so
that,
would
that
you...
kind of was a trade-off with the strikeout rate because he wasn't getting as many ground balls, right?
The ground ball rate was about the same.
Okay.
Like percentage lower.
Yeah. Never mind then.
So Ian Kennedy or Andrew Kastner, who do you think it would be better in 2016?
I'm going to guess Kennedy just because, I mean, Kastner on top of everything else has a ton of injury risk. Like, it's cool that he got more strikeouts last year, but it's always something with him, you know?
Yeah. I think inning for inning, I'd rather have Kastner, but yeah, he just doesn't offer a lot of innings, Kastner, so I'll go Kennedy too.
Would you rather have Trevor Bauer or Ian Kennedy?
Kennedy. I was just ready to take whoever the other pitcher was instead of Bauer.
Ouch.
Okay,
I don't
how
disagree
about,
necessarily.
But... How about Kevin Gausman or Ian Kennedy?
Kennedy.
Okay, I'll take Gausman.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll go with the unknown, untapped potential, which may or may not get realized.
Now, another NL with regression possibility. Remember, regression can be up or down. John Lackey, he thinks will be worse. He thinks John Lackey will be worse mostly because of the ballpark. And I believe you guys agree with that one.
I do. Yeah, he really got a boost from Bush.
And John Lackey, how about Lackey or Joe Ross this year?
Again, I'll go upside here with Joe Ross.
Me too.
Lackey or Julio Tehran?
Tehran.
Yep.
Okay. Last guy on the regression candidates list, Jeff Samardzija will be better because of the new ballpark. But how much better will Jeff Samardzija be in 2016?
Yeah, I'm not even sure it's going to be because of the ballpark. Obviously, that helps. But, you know, if the move from Oakland to the White Sox last year could do that much damage, then I just don't even understand baseball anymore because that was ridiculous. I think there's a possibility it was the tipping the pitches issue that Samardzija himself alluded to, or there's a possibility that I've made reference to him increasing his use of the cutter and that being a pitch that tends to give up a lot of home runs. One way or another, though, I think the raw stuff for Samardzija is still too good for him to be as bad as he was last year.
Now, the White Sox were one of the worst defensive teams, right?
I think so, yeah.
And the Giants should be much better behind Samardzija, so that should help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the defense, the ballpark, that's all going to help. And plus everything that Scott was just saying, I would definitely co-sign on all that.
Now, let me say something here.
You have the floor.
I've done fantasy football and, let's see, two or three sports line podcasts, opening line since I've come back. And you guys are the only ones that didn't say, welcome back, Adam. How was your vacation?
Well, you know what, Adam? We only talk to you once every week. And to be honest, I didn't know you were on vacation.
What?
Maybe if you hadn't moved to New York, I would see you around the office and miss you when you're not there. But it's not the arrangement you've made, Adam.
Well, I thought you knew because we moved the podcast last week up to Monday to specifically accommodate me and my vacation needs.
Well,
I didn't know that, but really? I'm sorry, Adam.
Well, no, I apologize. I'm terribly sorry for not communicating better with you guys. I feel terrible.
Yeah. I want to know every day if something's out of schedule for you, out of routine. I want to know about it.
I just found out you moved.
Yeah, I moved out of New York City. I live in the suburbs now.
I don't even know you.
You know,
you have kids now?
not that I'm aware of. Emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Here we go. Remember, please put podcast in the subject, baseball podcast in the subject line so I don't get the football and the baseball emails mixed up. Okay, Tim in the Woods emails us. He says, my buddies have been in the same redraft league for three seasons now. I'm sorry, Scott, were you going to jump in? Do you have any advice about living in the woods?
I was wondering where he gets internet access out there.
Hotspot,
I guess.
So Tim has been in the same redraft league for three seasons. We're intrigued by the idea of starting a keeper league this year, but we are conflicted. What do each of you prefer? The thrill of targeting youngsters and growing attached to them? Is that worth not having a chance to land Mike Trout every season? It seems like the inaugural keeper draft will be more compelling than a typical redraft, but the drafts in the future will be far less interesting. What are your thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, I prefer keeper leagues. I mean, I get the luxury of being able to do both.
Yeah.
But if I had, you know, one league, a home league, I would really, really want to be a keeper league. And the more guys you get to keep, the better.
And I think one way you can avoid just all the studs being kept is to make it a keeper league where you're forfeiting a pick or dollars relative to where you drafted the guy this past year, so that there's a value aspect to who you decide to keep, and it's not just your four or five best players. And that way, I think you can get maybe the best of both worlds that way.
You know, I was going to say to Adam, you know, as a Yankees fan, because I like fantasy to try to replicate a little bit of the realness, real based on it. As a Yankees fan, you know, do you complain about not being able to have, you know, Mike Trout or Bryce Harper? But I realize the Yankees will have all those players
wow.
someday.
I think you have them confused with the Dodgers. So also Tim attached an audio clip. It says, here's an audio clip of Adam being masculine. Did you guys listen to this, by the way?
I did not.
No.
It's very funny. So this is, I think, from a few years ago, Nando just like inappropriately touching me in a podcast, which is like very normal. It happened all the time. And me being like, get off of me. So I emailed him back and I said, please send a downloadable clip and I'll try to edit it into a future podcast. But thank you, Tim, for embarrassing me. Next up, we have Kevin from Williamsburg. He says, hey, Kirk, James, and Lars. Easy. Al, you
I don't
know this. Al,
no.
Come on. It's Metallica.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Al's name. Sorry.
No, Al knew that one. I knew Scott
I should
would
have
that.
Known that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hoping to get some keeper help. Got a solid team. One back-to-back years. I know I'm keeping Trout, Adam Jones, Anthony Rizzo, and McCutcheon. So four hitters and three outfielders. But I need two more. So who would you guys keep? Altuve, Encarnacion, Frazier, Arrieta, Bumgarner, Hamels. Pick two.
I'm wondering why he's keeping Adam Jones.
Yeah.
I can't get over that before I start picking two more.
Yeah, because I could easily pick three from the list. And so I would get rid of Jones and keep Altuve, Encarnacion, and Bumgarner. And yeah, that is Bumgarner over Arrieta because I think they'll be pretty equivalent this year and Bumgarner's younger.
Yeah, I could see that. I do rank Arrieta ahead of Bumgarner for this year, but it's almost a coin flip thing for me. So I get the younger argument for Bumgarner. I'll agree.
It's so obvious what's going to happen to Bumgarner. Like, they're going to win the World Series this year. He's going to pitch 270 innings, and this is going to be his last good year. He's going to be like Lincecum and Kane. It's like,
hey,
what happened?
The last time he pitched 270 innings, he was fine.
But how many times
and
can he
do that? I can't say that about maybe any pitcher else, other pitcher pitching today, because nobody pitches 270 innings.
Wainwright did, right? And then he had a bad year, I believe.
Okay.
Wainwright had a lot of high inning years where he was just
I know,
fine.
But that's what I'm saying. Like it's starting to happen with I'm just kind of joking. Yeah, I'm kind of joking.
You're reaching. You're reaching.
In a few years maybe.
Okay.
We'll worry about that.
Mark from New York City says, dear Adam, Anders, and Blake. I know you guys won't know this, but it's
no idea. What is it?
It's Workaholics.
What?
Pretty funny show on Comedy Central.
Okay.
I don't think either of you would like it though.
All right.
I'm surprised I like it.
You know our tastes.
Yeah, you know I don't like funny.
You're like our
You know, I think it's too weird. I think it's too weird for you guys. I don't think either of you like weird humor.
You don't think we like weird humor, eh? What else is what's another example of weird humor?
Like Broad City.
Don't know that one.
Step Brothers? You don't like Step Brothers?
I don't know. Step Brothers is more silly than weird.
Yeah, I guess I'd agree with that. But you like Step Brothers less than anyone I know. Everybody I know likes Step Brothers more than you. And
look,
that
scene with Adam Scott, where the family singing a cappella in the car.
Amazing, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty damn
it's
awesome.
The highlight of the movie. But there's no Will Ferrell in that scene, and he's kind of the star of the movie. So
it is the best scene of the movie. But I was on vacation, and there was a live band playing. and they were playing Sweet Child of Mine, and I turned to my brother, and I'm like, flat, I can't believe this. I'm going to save it with the solo. And then I pulled the Step Brothers. Anyway, here's Mark's question. Conflicted over my keeper situation for the upcoming season. 10-player head-to-head league, we're allowed to keep up to 5, and I believe I have 4 of those keepers set with Freddie Freeman in the 6th round, Michael Brantley in the 14th, Yasiel Puig in the 16th, and Rusne Castillo in the 25th. For my remaining keeper, I had planned on keeping Jock Peterson in the 9th, but he doesn't seem to be getting any off-season love after his abysmal second half.
No, he does not.
So Peterson in the 9th, Eduardo Rodriguez or Steven Piscotty in the 15th. What do you guys recommend for this guy, for Mark?
So he's got to pick one out of those three?
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm still kind of tempted to keep Peterson just because I think, like, if he is able to overcome this and be all that he can be.
In the Army?
He's going to be by far the best of these players. So I realize I ranked Piscotty ahead of him for this year, and I realize we're talking a 6-round difference between the two of them, but I don't think a 9th-round pick is so worth protecting that I'd want to potentially fritter him away.
I completely agree with that. Yeah, I don't think Piscotty in the 15th, even long-term, is necessarily going to be that great of a value. But, you know, it's only 5 keepers. I don't think there's a lot of risk here, and there could be a big payoff if Peterson breaks out.
Last email is from Shane in Portland, Oregon. And he says, "Dear Kofi, Big E, and Xavier."
What the heck is this?
Only Kofi I know is Kofi Annan.
And this would be the New Day wrestling group. Wrestlers.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know there was such a thing as a wrestling group, so I was
United Nations wrestling. I was close.
Kofi Annan. Okay, so anyway, Shane said we got to help Shane out. He's in trouble. There is not a day that goes by where I don't think about my upcoming keeper decision.
Oh, I'm in a life.
I know.
No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. I do that all the time.
I'm in a 15 team standard scoring 5x5 keeper league, or standard scoring, just standard. That's my bad. I put the word scoring in there. Football gaffe. All right, 15 team standard 5x5 keeper league. We can keep up to 5. Notably, every team must start 3 relievers, so closers tend to have elevated prices. So here are the options. I've narrowed them down with their keeper salaries and how many years beyond 2016 I can potentially keep them. So he needs what? 5. Up to 5. Troy Tulowitzki for $9 and 1 more year after this year. Miguel Sano for $4 and 1 more year after this year. Christian Yelich for $5 and just this season. K-Rod for $1 and just this season. Wade Davis for $8 and 1 more year. Chris Davis with the Orioles for $23 and 1 more year, and Jose Altuve for $29 and 1 more year. I'll read them again, just the prices. Tulowitzki for 9, Sano for 4, Yelich for 5, K-Rod for 1, Wade Davis for 8, Chris Davis $23, and Jose Altuve $29, excuse me. And the only two that can only be kept for this year are Yelich and K-Rod, and I know that's very confusing for all you listeners, so thank you for playing along.
Are the two you're leaving out. You're keeping the 5 who you can keep for an extra year.
Okay.
Partly because of that, but partly because they're all good prices for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think the closer consideration, where in a 15-team league everyone has to start 3, makes K-Rod at $1 for just this year a good option, but not as good as any of those others.
I have to agree. I gave some thought maybe to keeping him over Altuve because Altuve at 29 might not be a great value, but at the end of the day, I can't leave Altuve on the table.
And the Nuge in Chicago, we already read his email, but I didn't read his greeting. He said, "To Kyle, Jorge, and Jason."
That's Cubs outfielders.
You got it.
Finally got one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm such a homer, Al.
That's right. It's Kyle.
Yeah, I'm such a homer that I was like, okay.
Do you see the thing about, it was on our site today, that when the Cubs made their pitch to Lester, they showed him their projected lineup for this year with Hayward in it?
No.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It worked. No, I was going to say...
They were planning on signing Hayward that far in advance.
Yeah.
You know what? They don't hear me, and I'm not even going to try again, everybody. I'm just going to fold. I'm just going to fold. I'm just going to end the show.
Boo.
That was revelatory, Adam. I thought that deserved a bigger reaction than you gave it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Hooray. Good for them. Cubs are great. Everybody loves the Cubs. The Cubs... Hey, listen. The Cubs used to be lovable. They're about to be like the most hated team. And you can thank the media for that because that's all we're going to talk about for the next 3 months. How great are the Cubs? The Cubs are going to win everything. Now we
I'm laughing now. And yet, like in 3 months, I know you're going to be totally right.
I'm 100 yards already. Already
they
I'm sick of
great.
It.
They're the best team in baseball. They'll probably won't win the World Series because it never happens.
It's so true.
They are.
Well, thank you guys for the best podcast in baseball. I feel comfortable saying that, but we won't win the World Series. And we'll talk to you guys twice next week to give some sleepers, maybe some busts.
Two a week.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Right. It's training camp.
Yeah.
All right. That's it, everybody. Thank you for listening. I'm Adam Azer, Scott White, now Melchior. See you later.